This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
All right, Darklings, we have a night of monsters and miracles on tap for you. The Paranormal 60 News crew is almost back to full complement, and we've got fun, weird, unusual, and completely strange stories to share, and that's next right here on the very best in Paranormal Talk Radio. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 60 News. All right, my Darklings, thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Let's begin, shall we? We've got the Paranormal 60 News crew in effect. The paranormal detective, Greg, he's an author, Lawson. Hello, Greg.
How's it going, old buddy?
It's going well. How about with you, my friend?
Good, man. We've known each other a long time now.
What are we going on, about 14 years?
I think so.
Yeah, roughly 14 years.
It's like junior in high school.
Yeah.
That might have been.
That would have put me in kindergarten, I think,
at
the time. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of kindergarten, here he is, all the way back from Hawaii, back in the United States. Don't tell me Hawaii is part of the United States, Greg, because I'm not hearing it. It is the one, the only, America's greatest hero. The Colonel is back. Hello, Colonel.
Hey, Dave. Hey, thanks for having me back on. I was wondering if I still had a seat being gone so long, and hey, just
as long as Chachi is gone, you have a place to call home, Greg.
Awesome.
There, Marty, I mean.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah, it's
a little Freudian slip there, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, our own Freudian slip. Sweet Tea is in the house.
I don't care for that.
No?
Yeah. No.
Wow.
What? Is that even...
Why does everything have to have an explanation for you?
I want to learn. I'm a learner.
Are you?
Yeah.
No.
Not a hater.
I think we will find out soon enough. You learn very little and have really upset the balance of nature with today's assignment. We'll talk about that later. That's right. We have, or we're supposed to have, an upon further review. Did one of our illustrious casts watch the movie? Who knows?
Most of it.
We'll find out. You're the worst. Listen, we've got a lot of stuff to discuss this evening. A little bit later on in the show, one of our very own gets highlighted. I know it's hard to believe, but somebody here shines like the little gem that they are. Not you.
Wow.
It's not you. And it's not the Colonel. It is one of the two of us. Wow. You'll have to tune in.
What'd you do, Dave?
Keep watching. Why? How are you so sure it's not Greg? Who shines like a little diamond?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Greg, this guy over here. This guy. This
the one
is here every week.
Background. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Just a thought. All right. So supercomputers, they're all the rage. All the kids want one. And they're running simulations. Don't look up stimulation. You're going to get a completely different set of stories. Believe it or not, a supercomputer just spit out this information. One day, the world will end.
Yeah. And?
Supercomputer. They needed
a supercomputer for that one, huh?
Yep. Yeah. When that happens, though, the sun will essentially explode outward, destroying many of the planets around it as it dies and reaches another cycle of its life. But before that happens, scientists say we can likely expect humanity's end to arrive sooner. So don't worry.
Oh.
You don't have to worry about the sun exploding and melting us all. Not a fear for you.
I'm voting on robots, man.
No, no. To kill us? Climate yes. change, according to this supercomputer generated article. Climate change is, of course, an ongoing concern that many scientists are trying to solve, and they've come up with some really cool and impressive ideas, including sending bubbles into space to help block solar radiation.
I'm sorry, what?
Bubbles into space so that they can block solar radiation. I thought it was clear.
I like it.
Like soap bubbles?
Did you eat a lot of lead paint chips as a child, sweet tea?
Ow. Ow.
Yeah, please.
Delicious. They're delicious. Mm-hmm. Delicious, but deadly, according to Troy McClure. Yeah, sending bubbles into space. I don't know that that's a good idea, because when you want to heat your pool, don't you put like a bubble wrap on top of your pool and it somehow absorbs the heat from the sun better and warms your pool?
I've never owned a pool, but no.
Yeah, I'm on a way lower tax bracket than you are.
Yeah, we don't live in the area of town that has pools where you have to worry about bubbles, okay, Dave?
What are you doing?
Jeez. Ooh, Greg, the Colonel's a bit owly. Fresh back from his Hawaiian adventure, suddenly he doesn't have a pool, and he's very, very
upset about that. Yeah,
yeah. So it seems. However, no solution has actually been put into play just yet. As a result, climate change continues to progress onward, threatening the melting of the ice caps, which would send hundreds of thousands of miles of shoreline under the ocean. And according to a new simulation, humanity's end could come a lot sooner than we expected. Guys and
gals. Yeah, right? I'm with Greg. Gal,
we are just a little over 250 million years away.
Oh,
if climate change does not change.
Around the corner.
We're not going to see it.
No. Well,
I would hope not.
You guys might not. Being an immortal, I will be here for it all. Why did a supercomputer simulation? I have so many questions about this article. First of all, is there nothing better we can do with a supercomputer than simulate the end of the world? Secondly, when it pops out information like, hey, man, 250 million years, that's the most you're going to get. Does anybody living or worried about their next 20 generations, this does not make me think we need to worry about climate change.
Well, and thirdly, bubbles is like our, our solution, you know?
Why it's not 260 million years from now.
Everybody likes bubbles, Marty.
Who
doesn't like bubbles?
Yeah, I would love to have seen I would like to have seen the scientists trying to sell that one to the university to get a grant. Yeah, we have this theory that bubbles are going to save the world.
No, so bubbles, because of the way that they're shaped, they reflect a certain way and diffuse things. I saw this in a friend of mine's wedding, as they were standing facing each other, saying their vows. He was crying and he blew a bubble about the size of a tennis ball. And you could see her reflection in the bubble. So I know
that's beautiful.
And when you saw that bubble, that snot bubble, did you think that could save our planet?
That was the most amazing thing. I think that was next to Bigfoot, man.
And maybe these scientists used that wedding video to prove their point to funding of the grant.
Obviously.
Incredible. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't take everything away from you, Dave.
No, please. Good
point.
No,
very good point.
Actually, sounds almost as compelling as my first wedding, when the pastor, who happened to be her father, said, "Do you promise to honor, obey, and blah blah?" And she burst out laughing. Legitimately burst out laughing. That should have been sign number one. This wasn't the woman for me.
No.
Oh, they got to behave, man.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Can we turn off
right? What? Anyway, the simulation was completed by a supercomputer using various pieces of data relating to Earth's ongoing climate and ocean chemistry, as well as the state of the tectonic plates in biology. That simulation found that within 250 million years, the Earth's atmosphere will be so full of CO2 that, coupled with the heat of the sun, will make the Earth no longer able to sustain many forms of life, including humanity. So that's it. You've heard it here first. You only have 250 million years left. Maybe somebody could finish a movie.
250 million years from now, people are going to say, you know, Dave Schrader, back in 2024 said on his
finish
show.
That movie.
Yeah, finish the movie.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question. Did they say when the coast was going to be engulfed by the ocean or whatever they were saying?
I don't know if you heard because me.
I know, 250 million, blah, 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 but you didn't right, do like a timeline.
But then I did this. That coupled with the heat of the sun will make the Earth no longer able to sustain many forms of life. And I put the paper down. So
No, it doesn't say that? Is everybody that what you're telling me?
I feel some tension going on here.
It's because I didn't watch the full movie.
Yes. Are those real glasses?
One assignment. Yes.
One assignment. Are those real glasses?
One job.
Are those like an app. And they're just stuck
it's
in
an app.
It's an app so I can see. Thank you, Greg.
Good God. Good God. Speaking of a good God, hey, let's get to the miracle part of this week's show, if you guys are down with that. Picture, if you will. Picture, if you will, you go to church on Sunday. You're with your family. You're with your friends. You're sitting there getting ready to commune with the Lord. And things go horribly awry. Horribly awry. During a Sunday sermon at Jesus Dwelling Place Church near Pittsburgh, Pastor Glenn Germany narrowly avoided tragedy when a stranger attempted to shoot him. Bernard Jr. Polite entered the church.
That's not
smiled. Smiled, then aimed a gun at the pastor, but the firearm malfunctioned and Deacon Clarence McAllister tackled Polite. Church members disarmed him until police arrived. However, the situation took a dark turn when investigators found a body at Polite's nearby home. Derek Polite, identified as the victim, had been fatally shot. Polite allegedly confessed to Pennsylvania State Police, claiming God told him to do it and expressing a desire to go to jail just to clear his mind. Polite now faces charges of endangerment and assault. Despite his confession, questions remain about his motives and his connection to Derek Polite's death. Through it all, Pastor Germany and the congregation have shown resilience and faith, finding strength in each other during this challenging time. Woo! I'm not even a Catholic and I'm going to cross myself like one because you're in church, a guy pulls out a gun and click, click, click.
That goes against Highlander rules.
Bad gun manufacturing in the U.S. That's
Highlander rules?
Yeah.
Highlander rules, there can be only one.
Yeah, and you go to a church, that's a safe space. You can't kill people in church.
There you go.
You can't kill people with a sword in church. Maybe you should watch that.
Apparently not with guns either.
Maybe you should have watched that whole movie too.
Ow.
Which one?
Just, hey, sweet tea.
You're making it real hard for me not to swear.
How would you like to watch a movie for a prompted review? To which an answer came, yes, all in capitals and extended, yes.
Wow.
I only have 10 hours of editing ahead of me, and then I have another 5-hour appointment. Oh, yes, God. The times are getting longer when I describe it every time I do it. Oh. You guys, I tried. I got an hour in.
We do a 1-hour show on Wednesday night. We get done with the show, and this audio's up an hour and a half later.
Yeah, well, I have to edit because I am a perfectionist.
Yeah.
You know what you should probably do?
Huh?
Just curtail this back to our Monday morning meetings because they last like 4 or 5 hours. About all this.
Greg, we weren't at those meetings. That's when you were a police officer, and there were there were other people eating donuts and coffee, and
but it wasn't us
talking, and it wasn't us. We'd not morning people, one of us.
Nope.
I was rolling over in bed, turning off the clock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, ugh. But you went to Monday morning meetings.
I was thinking that those were production meetings. I didn't know that's probably why it turned out the way it did.
Yeah, I can understand the confusing nature of that as well. Thinking you're going in to talk about
our personas. It's always the persona thing. Make sure you stay in your lane.
Oh my God.
Is that why you're like that?
Uh-huh. Let's see. So far, we've got a conversation about the end of the world from a supercomputer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Jesus apparently not having a gun down in his church. He's like, nope, take it away. Yep. Do you, now, in all honesty, Greg, you're former law enforcement, so you kind of know things. I mean, the probability of a gun just jamming in church or miracle? What do you think?
I'd say miracle.
Okay.
You know, was it a, we don't know what kind of gun it was, you know?
Greg, did you see when I read that line and then I dropped the paper?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It was, I don't
know. Is that your new thing?
Yeah. That's the end of the story to me. There's no more. I give, because I love you three, I give you every word of the story as written.
If it was a
llama, we don't remember what you say. We don't listen.
A llama or a Jennings or something like that.
Instead of dropping the mic, he drops the story. That's our cue.
I just don't, after that point, it's like, all right, I've talked about the miracle. The miracle was the gun didn't go off. I love that the deacons just like tackled him. And do you think they're like bouncing on him? Who brings a gun into the house of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
Yeah.
What kind of church is that?
It would be, a good one.
Church of Jesus.
Is church of bodyguard. Church of
Matt's that. Asking if it was a 17th century or 18th century musket.
Oh, I had that to reload been, for like 10 could, minutes.
You've heard wet. About that no, outrage of wet. Yeah. Musket attacks.
It's very musket.
Yeah, I don't believe so.
It's musket-like.
Musket-like. Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow recently shared a lighthearted take on aliens during a conversation with NFL players Jason and Travis Kelce on their podcast, New Heights. Burrow appeared as a special guest at the University of Cincinnati. Discussing the possibility of UFOs, Burrow humorously speculated that if aliens were indeed visiting Earth, their advanced technology might allow them to remain undetected. I feel like if they're advanced enough to come visit us, then they're advanced enough to cloak their technology from us, and we won't be able to see it. That's why aliens, Bigfoot, and Nessie are all blurry because of alien technology. Jason Kelce, who initiated the discussion, commended Burrow's logic, highlighting the entertaining nature of their conversation. Burrow continued his playful musings, as Burrow does, suggesting that while some people might have insights into extraterrestrial activity, it remains a mystery for most. This think tank is just...
Come on.
Burrow and Kelce Kelce.
Like a and machine. Like,
yeah, they're like a brain trust.
A machine, they are like a supercomputer of the NFL.
Yes.
Without the bubbles.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about that. Yeah. While Jason and Travis Kelce didn't share Burrow's level of enthusiasm for the topic that they themselves brought up, they kept an open mind, acknowledging the possibility of alien existence. Burrow's witty take added a humorous twist to the discussion, making for an engaging and entertaining segment. Immer-taming. Uh-huh. Let's just
they should
have a drink.
That is drink worthy.
Start doing some stand up.
Be fun. Yeah, entertaining. So Joe Burrow, NFL weighing in on aliens now. Podcasts are like dipping their toes in to our genre. Do you see us talking about the NFL, Kelce brothers?
No. Nope.
Hey Joe Burrow, why don't you pass in your own lane?
Wow.
Huh? Yeah.
Hey, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Oh, good one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. DKL said that it might have been Boss Rutan's church where they slapped down the gunman. Yeah, Boss Rutan.
Possibly.
Boss Rutan sounds like a WWE wrestler.
Google him. He's freaking fantastic.
Boss Rutan?
Oh, yeah.
Is he a real preacher? Boss?
He's a real deal, dude. You do not want to mess with this guy. Old school MMA fighter.
Oh, okay.
And he's a pastor?
Well, if he had a church, he would beat the hell out of people that came in with a gun and slap them down. Yeah. So that's
or slap them down just to kind of make sure they listen to his sermon.
Yeah. He doesn't need my God lane. Apparently sorry. Will handle that in this church.
Why are you texting me? I'll stay in my lane. I'm all
right. I didn't text you. I'm focusing on my show. Who's texting you?
Are you texting us, Dave? Because I don't have my phone with me.
No, Marty. I'm focused on the job at hand.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Which is this job here. This
because Chachi has a tendency to be texting everywhere during the show.
I know. But... He's too busy to be here.
But yeah, where is he? He was supposed to be here, right?
He was supposed to be. Chachi is still dealing with
laying tile.
Man,
he is
man, that dude.
Yeah, at 9 o'clock at night, I'm sure he's laying tile right now.
These are just brutal. I believe in you, Chachi.
I do too. I was actually saying, like, I saw Chachi 2 days ago, and he was like on death's door. He's sick, man. The dude is sick.
So is he sick or is he busy? Which one is it?
He's busy and sick.
Nope.
He's
sick of being busy is what he is.
Who's not? Having a
swollen liver doesn't mean you're sick. It's self-inflicted.
Well, man, Greg, I'm not going to touch that one. But
speaking of drinks, what's everybody got going tonight? Greg, what are you sipping on?
A little Jameson Orange.
Oh, good Lord. You still have that bottle?
No, my staff gave it to me for my retirement.
Oh, good for you.
So Jameson Orange.
Ever. Freaking great people, man.
That's why you left, right?
That's pretty much.
Yep.
You don't leave because of your staff. You leave because of your boss.
All right, Colonel, what about you? What are you drinking tonight?
I am having a vodka martini.
Oh, dirty. Delightful. Oh, dirty. Love it.
Yeah. Extra dirty. It looks a little foggy.
I can't see you, so I'm thinking, it is pretty extra. Yep. Yeah.
Nice. And the tea of sweetness, what is it that you have in your glass there?
I've got the Barbara.
The Barbara?
The Barbara. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It just is vodka and cacao and cream.
Could you say it the right way, please?
Is that how you pronounce that? Cacao?
Cacao. What is?
I just know it from reading it and have never heard it, so I'm probably pronouncing it wrong.
So it's cream?
Uh-huh. And vodka? And
vodka.
Creme de cacao.
Creme de cacao. Isn't that called milk? Creme de cacao?
No, because it's cocoa.
Okay.
I know, like, when my little niece was like 2 and we went by a farm or drive, and she's like, cacao, cacao. So it could be.
Oh, maybe that's what I've got in my glass.
Could be.
Yeah.
It tastes chocolatey.
Does it?
Maybe it's a brown cow.
Could be.
This is folks just tuning in. I apologize. I don't know. I got nothing. We have more news stories to share. We have a special guest who's joining us in just a little bit.
You don't want
to
hear about the movie?
Not yet. No. I want to save that punchline for the later bit. So alien abduction insurance might sound like a joke, but it's a real policy you can buy. Offered by the St. Lawrence Agency in Florida for a one-time premium of $24.95 or $29.95 if you want a paper copy to prove to all your friends you've got it. You can supposedly protect yourself against extraterrestrial abductions. Firstly, you need to provide proof of your abduction, which includes obtaining a signature from the alien responsible.
Oh, good point.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this requirement highlights the policy's tongue-in-cheek nature.
What?
Despite its humorous premise, there have been 2 documented successful claims. In New York, a cab driver convinced the insurer of his abduction after years of telling his story to friends. Additionally, a train conductor submitted a claim along with a Polaroid picture taken during the encounter, although the quality was poor due to alleged bad lighting. If you manage to satisfy the insurer's criteria, the policy promises to pay you $10 million.
And they've already cashed out 2 of them?
Over the course of 10 million years.
A little long, but
the rub. So this just goes to prove people will buy anything. Mally Fox of Darkness Radio fame owns property on the moon. She bought like a 12 by 12 inch square of the moon.
Never know.
People have bought stars. How do we know that they're not double naming stars?
Oh, they totally are. And we know that when we buy it, it's fine.
Wait a minute, that's my star.
Know that to be true.
I'm pretty sure we know that.
There's 100 million billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy.
No, I'm not doubting anybody. I'm saying
why are we doubting what you're saying?
Thank you.
Also negative tonight. Everybody's just
I'm trying to bring some positivity to this
in the dirt
quad thing.
A little angry.
I have to move on.
A North Carolina woman got the shock of her life when she discovered a swarm after her toddler's complaints about monsters in the wall.
Wow.
In a viral TikTok video, Ashley Class, known as Classy Ashley, showcased the enormous beehive found behind her daughter's bedroom wall, earning over 9 million views. The clip featured a thermal camera image highlighting the hive and revealed a hole in the wall teeming with bees. Initially dismissing a few bees around the house, Class and her husband, Chris, were stunned by the sheer size of the hive, likening its shape to a man in the wall and noting it occupied the entire wall space. TikTok users flood the comments with reactions, with many expressing horror and disbelief. Despite the unsettling discovery, Class managed to safely remove the bees with the help of a beekeeper who relocated the hive along with the queen to a new home. Addressing concerns about not noticing the bees earlier, Class explained that it only takes a small swarm to develop into a large colony. She shared updates on their cleanup efforts, emphasizing their return to normalcy after the unexpected encounter. So your kid comes in, he's like, I think I have a bloody monster living in my wall. Because most kids have kind of that posh English accent.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They're born with it.
Yeah, my children did. Both of my daughters talked in English accents for most of their growing up years. I wish I were kidding. It was very strange. But my two daughters, legitimate. Father, I have a question for you. And some blame it on Peppa Pig.
It's because you're always watching Doctor Who and it just like clicked.
Could that be it? My grandson watches a lot of Peppa Pig and he does say, Mommy, Daddy. So that's adorable. It. But my girls didn't have Peppa Pig growing up and they spoke in an English accent quite often. Reincarnation?
Perhaps. Doctor No. 24 hours, 7 days a week on the Schrader television.
It's a miracle.
Hi, Kevin Pletzer. Thanks for popping in. Just noticed that. Good to see Kevin Pletzer.
Yay.
I need a beehive, I think. I think it'd help out my Instagram.
You mean the hairdo or in your wall?
Hey, it might obviously do both. Hair. Maybe I'll get a... Yeah.
You know what would perk this segment up?
Oh, anything.
A commercial. Hold tight. We'll be back with more. We've got the best stories and a brand new Upon Further Review when we return right here on the Paranormal 60 News. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. The Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond is back and bigger than ever. At Oaks Amusement Park, Saturday, June 29th. Meet Bigfoot hunters like Ronnie LeBlanc of Discovery Channel's Expedition Bigfoot and Paranormal Caught on Camera. and paranormal investigators like me, Dave Schrader of the Holzer Files and the Paranormal 60 podcast. Join us for a day of family fun celebrating Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, and everything beyond. You never know what you'll find. Don't miss the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond, Saturday, June 29th at Oaks Amusement Park. Get tickets today at OregonBigfootFest.com. OregonBigfootFest.com.
The Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
There are just a few tickets to remain for this weekend's adventure at Hillview Manor in Pennsylvania. If you are on the East Coast, or if you're willing to travel, come investigate one of the most haunted and notorious locations I've ever been to, Hillview Manor. There are tickets that still are available, just a couple for the VIP, or you can just come hear my presentations or a meet and greet, get a free hug, get a picture with me, or get yourself a signed copy of my book or one of our new Phases protection and energy bracelets, all going to be there at Hillview. I hope that you'll consider coming out and checking that out. And tickets are on sale right now for the Triple Threat, our third and final Palmer House Hotel event of 2024. Takes place August 16th and 17th. Sarah Lemos will be on hand. Shane Pittman will be on hand. I will be there, as will Bill Chappell and Kevin Swanson. It's a weekend filled with fun, presentations, talks, mediumship galleries, workshops, and more. You can get all the information on every event I'm going to be a part of by going and checking out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com.
Yeah, man, that was amazing.
You guys should be there. Are any of you guys coming to the Oregon Bigfoot Festival?
Oh, that's funny that you should ask. Jenny and I'll be there. We're going to go hunt for Bigfoot right after that.
Wow. Excellent. Marty, there's another one. Maybe that's a good opportunity.
That might be one that I need to go to as
Come
well.
Come on, what are you doing? Oh. You're not doing nothing.
Their design that they have is best in the business.
Agreed.
That is a great design.
Yeah, very cool. Greg, come on out. Let's hang out at the Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
What is it?
It just said, Greg, like...
Yeah, it was right there.
I
was looking at the stuff.
It's time now for Upon Further Review.
So for those of you that are new to the show, what I like to do in this little segment is I find a movie that has a paranormal theme or slant to it. I reach out to my extensive web of paranormal friends and I ask them, I task them with watching the movie. It could be a long forgotten gem like Creator. It could be Night of the Lepus. You never know. Could be any one of those movies in between. How do you find out? Well, you say to me, yes, Dave, I want to watch that movie. And then you watch that
All
movie.
Caps?
Yeah. Especially when I, hey, sweet tea, how about a movie review? Yes. I want to see a movie. Yes. I can watch it by tomorrow's program. I'm in, Dave. Let's do this.
I don't think I said any of that aside from
us. It's not Greg. I thought this would actually happen this time. I thought
it did. Two-thirds of the way did.
That's all right. I'll give you. It's one-third more than Greg usually puts into watching a movie when I send
it. I think it's two-thirds more, but thank
you. Well, no, because he usually gets about a third of the way in. And by that, I mean he watches the trailer.
He usually Googles it, Greg, or goes to IMDb.
I know you're here in the room still, but
it's like I'm not even here.
It is. Well, let's, for those people that would like to know as much as Tressa, let's watch the trailer.
Let's get laid.
Hello.
Welcome.
They must be from California.
It's gonna be all right. Just corner the one that looks the loneliest and speak in short sentences.
Hello, my name is N, short for Henry.
I'm Zan.
Now that is punk.
Do more punk to me.
What do your people do on an ordinary day?
We do what we want.
Have you no restrictions?
This is unprecedented.
We're going out of this.
We're going out of this.
That was the future.
Ben, I can come with you to the punk. I have 48 hours. I never thought
I'd make my way. What are you bringing Ari for?
I slept at his house and met his mom.
Sorry, love.
It's my first time at this. It's taking longer than I expected. And we engaged in incomplete sexual activity.
I'm ready to come home, yeah?
Yeah, I know that. She's not normal. None of them are.
I bet they participate in some bizarre sex rituals.
No.
How do you know that?
I just don't see it happening.
You have less than 24 hours to rectify the situation.
You're in extreme danger. We have to leave now.
I feel alive. I feel open.
Sam needs hope.
We'll need backup.
You think you can just swallow us up? Rise up, my children!
We may have cocked this planet up royally, but at least we're alive. We like to eat, we like to dance, we like to fall in love. And we try and fix what our parents screwed up. Are you lot with me?
How to talk to girls at parties. This looks like a gem of a 90s comedy movie based here in the United States, only it's in England. And it's a party rave scene that may or may not involve aliens. But the only way we'll know for certain is by Sweet Tea telling us what you're she welcome. Thought of the movie.
I'm anxious to hear what she has to say.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're anxious.
Did I see a very
listen,
famous
everything in that movie? Trailer is everything that I saw. There's nothing else to see. It's fine. It's great. Whatever. 2 stars. No, thank you. It was a boring. It was artsy. No, thanks. A whole lot of no, thank you. A period piece in 77 revolving around punk, like, do it right.
Not a good
maybe.
Period. Yeah.
You know what? I don't need to see another remake of a genius, like, groundbreaking movie. And I've already seen Dude, Where's My Car? So I don't need to see this movie.
It's not Dude, Where's My Car?
Pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure it's exactly this movie.
At no point did they say, dude, where's my vehicle?
Did you watch it?
I just did. You watched me watch it, and you said that everything in the movie is in that trailer.
Okay.
So
I wasn't talking about the dialogue, though.
Oh, but there's no Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. Nicole Kidman is in this movie.
I saw that. I saw a flash of her.
Elle Fanning is in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
She looks like a delight. So the concept is what? It's one crazy night in London in the 70s during the pop scene. And an alien has taken possession of a human form and joined in the fun.
No.
And
none of that.
It's zany activity that takes place.
Nope.
So on a scale of 1 phantom, it sucks. 5 phantom, it's amazing. Sweet Tea, with the 2/3 of the movie you lazily watched, what would you give this flick?
A solid 2. I've seen worse.
I would never watch it again.
I've seen worse.
And Greg comes in with, I would never watch that trailer again, ever.
That's Greg, fair.
He sings it. Now, I will tell you, there was another movie that I can't remember the title of that was it was filmed in 2007. It takes place in 1985, and it's a British version of a John Hughes movie. It's totally that kind of, some kind of wonderful
aliens?
Breakfast Club vibe to it. No aliens, and it was a delight seeing a young teenage James McAvoy and James Corden, and it was a fun little movie. If I knew the title, I'd tell you to watch it, but it had nothing to do with the paranormal, because I let Sweet Tea watch the paranormal movie out of
You're
respect.
Welcome. You're
yeah.
welcome.
Yeah. All right, so let's get beyond that now, and there was a huge news story that just came out. And normally I'm not one to play an entire news story, but there is so much involved in this. And one of our very own gets a chance to shine and then one of our good friends gets a chance to shine. We're going to see all of this up next. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you haven't heard, a Wisconsin medium has helped solve yet another missing persons case. And a certain retired police guy appears in this news story. So,
your police?
A Wisconsin medium helps a woman in Louisiana, and a guy from Texas weighs in on it. It sounds just paranormal enough. Let's check out the news story. And this comes from our friends at, like, KOE, I believe is the actual news outlet that shares it with us.
The 8 News Live at 6, your breaking news and weather authority.
But desperate for answers, two sisters turn to a psychic medium who they claim led them to their missing mom's body. Good evening to you. I'm Jennifer Andrews. Riley Kramer has the story, and we do have a warning that some of the images may be disturbing.
This is Teresa Jones. She was reported missing on February 2nd of 2023. She was just 56 years old, living in Bernice, right outside of Farmerville. She was a loving mother of three and a grandmother of seven. Ashley Deese will never forget how her mother, Teresa, could light up a room.
Thank you, Teresa.
When her mother went missing, she spent hours searching. The Union Parish Sheriff's Office sent out the canine unit to look for her, but still no Teresa.
She's so gorgeous.
2 days later, Deese reached out to a well-known psychic medium in Wisconsin, Carolyn Clapper, who's known for her success in locating missing people.
It has been a year now since this has happened, and she has so much information pertaining to this case.
Deese says Carolyn answered their phone call at 11 at night and lended them her help pro bono. During that 45-minute phone call, she claims Carolyn gave them step-by-step instructions guiding her to her mother's body.
Well, there would be a log. She kept showing me this pronounced log, a very big log in the woods. It wasn't just like little twigs and sticks. It was a log, a huge one.
It's like I envisioned what I had heard on the phone last night. That was the landmark. That was the log. So I immediately got ill, shaky and sick, started vomiting.
Teresa was found face down in Edmonds Creek near her home. Dee says Carolyn accurately described the position of her mother's body and the surrounding area.
So there is a woman deceased face down in a creek, nude. All she had on was a top, no undergarments, nude. There was no rape kit, no scraping of the fingernails. I'm bothered by that.
Dee says she told the sheriff's office about Carolyn and how she helped guide them to her mom's body. She says she pleaded for the sheriff's office to call Carolyn to get more information, but claims Carolyn was never contacted.
Even if they don't believe in psychics or they're skeptical, you know, they still follow up on leads. So they'll still question me. If I know too much about a case and they can't really explain how I would know the details that I know about a case, it's their job to follow up.
After reaching out to the Union Parish Sheriff Dusty Gates back in November last year, KNOE had the chance to sit down with him last month to discuss the case off camera. He confirmed that neither a fingernail scraping nor a rape kit was done on Teresa after she was found.
This is a suspicious case.
Greg Lawson, a retired detective in Texas, is not involved in the case, but says standard testing should have been done.
You find a woman partially naked in a creek in a woods, and you don't do a rape kit on her? Really? You're that confident in your omnipotence. You're that confident in your ability to recreate the past in your own brain and say, now this is what happened. How about doing some actual tests, some physical, evidentiary tests to prove that it wasn't?
An autopsy was performed by Dr. Frank Peretti the day after Teresa was found. Deese got a copy of the report a few weeks later and says it lined up perfectly with what Carolyn Clapper told them. We reviewed the autopsy report with other law enforcement officers who question why there's no estimated time of death on the report and why there were no tests done to prove that Teresa was alone before she died. In the summary, the autopsy never states that she was found nude from the waist down. However, it does mention the potential involvement of drugs. I've reached out to Dr. Peretti to ask if they knew she was found partially nude before the autopsy, which may have been important when deciding which test to perform. I have yet to hear back.
Watch out, babe.
Sheriff Gates says they could have requested a rape kit or a fingernail scraping be done, but he didn't know if his office ever requested those tests. Teresa's case was closed on August 1st of 2023 and ruled as an accidental drowning with meth intoxication as a contributing factor. but her daughter believes that's not what happened.
Does not line up. It doesn't make sense. And if someone can make it make sense, I will sit down and listen.
In November, I requested any and all records pertaining to Teresa's case, but only received heavily redacted incident reports. Sheriff Gates said he didn't know why, since closed cases are public record. Following our in-person discussion, the sheriff's office has provided the entire case file, which outlines every action taken during the investigation. Carolyn Clapper's name was never mentioned, though Ashley claims to have discussed her with deputies multiple times. Sheriff Gates says the case was closed due to a lack of new information and leads, but the family claims they failed to even contact the person who claimed to have the most information, the medium Carolyn Clapper.
That is a great way to solve a case, is don't look at all the evidence. Don't look at all the testimony. Don't look at all the things that are happening outside.
Ashley called many times asking for updates throughout the course of the investigation. Captain Mike Bryan responded on email telling her repeatedly that there was no new information and other cases needed his attention.
And aquatic death investigations are the ones that always get kicked to the back because they're incredibly hard to prove.
When asked why the department didn't contact Carolyn, Sheriff Gates said he didn't believe in psychics and he previously met with psychics who were wrong.
There's a point in a case where you have no other avenues to investigate. You've gone to the end of all of your evidence, all of your leads, and it's about to go cold and you're going to put it into a file somewhere. How's it going to hurt to talk to a medium about this? How's it going to hurt your case?
Dees believes her mother's case was not investigated properly and that law enforcement dropped the ball by not contacting someone who could have been a vital source, Carolyn Clapper. Before Teresa was found, Ashley says Carolyn also predicted details from the pathology and toxicology report that would later turn out to be true. When reviewing the case with another law enforcement agent, I was told Teresa had a very high level of meth in her system, enough to be lethal if someone is not a frequent user. The incident report says Dees told deputies that her mom was known to be back on meth and marijuana and that Teresa suffers from mental illness, but, quote, refuses to take her medication like she's supposed to. Ashley claims she never said this. Although reports state otherwise, Dees says her mother never used meth. However, she struggled with cocaine addiction 20 years ago, but has been sober ever since. She believes her mother was treated unfairly because of her past.
As soon as it was known that there was drugs involved and even a history of drugs, I felt like the sobriety didn't matter. And I feel like since there was drugs involved, it's just one more off the street.
The sheriff's office told Dees there was a lack of disturbance in the area where Teresa's body was found, which is why neither a rape kit nor fingernail scraping was done. Retired Detective Greg Lawson pointed out that the report doesn't show any efforts to determine how Teresa got to where her body was found. There was no drone footage, nor a grid search for any other evidence. Lawson also noted that there was no water sample taken from the creek to confirm that's where she drowned. They also never measured the flow of the creek to determine if any other evidence would have been moved by the water flow.
But there were some bruises there that could not have happened after death, that I was told that did happen after death. And that's just not correct. There were three distinctive fingerprints on her right upper arm, and I was told that that's just the way she was pulled out of the water.
Dees claims Captain Bryan told her that the bruising came from the water in the creek and that her clothes were likely removed by the flow of the water. The clothes that were suspected to have been washed off Teresa were never found.
You know, this is an assumption or a guess. It might be a good guess, but nonetheless, if there's no clothes, I mean, shouldn't we find the clothing? Shouldn't we prove that? Shouldn't there be science behind these ideas?
Dees said Teresa always kept a clean house, but when she went missing, her home was a mess. Carolyn says she told Ashley many other details that the report would later confirm, like which drugs would be found in her system and how it would be ruled as an accidental drowning. Information she says she was never able to give detectives.
For months I tried getting in touch. For months, Ashley tried following up with them, lending my name and my contact information. Months have gone by, nearly a year and a half now.
Ashley believes her mother's body was placed in the creek, but she fears her family will never know the truth.
I do suspect foul play. I haven't been proved that it wasn't, and I will suspect that until I'm proved that it's not.
tragic case, sad case. Greg, do you think that being a former police detective, the best shirt to wear was a UFO shirt?
Hey, oh, I had no idea she was recording me. I thought we were just
man, it's just like Greg is just like, man, he's just kind of a badass, man. I mean, it's like, gosh, I know that dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Wearing the UFO shirt and using a good
microphone. Just threw, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty good. But the real superstar is about to join us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, from Wisconsin, psychic medium Carolyn Clapper is here. And this is an amazing story, and so much so that I want to give you the I got to try to figure out how to do this again where we can give you the full screen. There we go. And give you a little bit more to be seen, Carolyn. So first of all, wow, you get a call at 11 o'clock at night. This isn't a case you're familiar with. Just to set the stage, we talked earlier today. On top of that, you just done a 2.5 hour medical intuitive meeting for someone else. You get this call, but it is so powerful that you launch into whatever you've got and whatever's coming through. Talk to us a little bit about this. What was it like to get that call and to immediately open up to this case?
Right. So I feel sometimes people joke with me about how I'm like CC911. And it's because so many people kind of call me at their worst when they're in their dire straits. When there's emergencies and stuff, even medically, like, hey, I'm having a medical issue, I'm freaking out, like, what should I do? And I'm like, and then I give them a quick scan and I tell them, hey, this is what you need to do. And they do it. And then it's accurate. Right. And so a lot of people claim that I save their lives and stuff, but that means that I'm on kind of speed dial for a lot of people. Right. So it's not that unusual for me to answer calls at really odd hours of the night. But on February 5th, when I got the phone call from Brittany, Teresa's daughter, I wasn't expecting it. It was a call. It was a number that I didn't recognize. I answered the phone and I literally picked up the phone. I thought, you know, why am I picking this up right now? I was so tired. I had just gotten done with a 2.5 hour medical reading, which is pretty long for a medical reading, but some people have a lot going on. And that was the case with my client before this reading. So I was really tired. I had a migraine that was beginning because I get migraines from reading pretty frequently. Man, but the girl on the other side of the phone sounded so sad and stressed out and worried and just, I could feel her desperation and her exhaustion. And I just got this image. She asked if I could help to find her mother. And I pictured my own mother, and then I pictured this book. It's like a little golden book or something. It's got this little bird on it, and it says, "Are you my mommy?" And it goes to all these different places and asks like trucks and objects, random objects and stuff, "Are you my mommy?" And this book just flashed in my head, and I saw her as a little girl, not as a grown woman, but as a little girl asking for my help. And I'm a sucker for kids, so I couldn't say no. And so I said yes. And I said, look, I will read for you until I hit a wall, meaning that I'll read for you until I can't anymore, until I get too tired or whatever. And so I just asked her to grab a pen and paper or to grab something to record it with. But recordings act wonky around me. They fail a lot. So so she grabbed a pen and paper and I just started going. So first I just got Teresa in my head. Like it just started flooding in. Basically what happens is spirit or my process, the way that I work, my spirit, I believe it's spirit that comes through to me. So I get all these images with my eyes closed and they do character building for me. Okay. So I'll get the image of the person that's missing and I'll start to get a knowing of what they were like, what they look like, what they like to do. The information about Teresa came in really fast. It was like a download, just really fast. And then I had to sort through it. So I not only got her appearance and, you know, saw her personal characteristics, like she's got this really infectious laugh and when she laughs, you can't not laugh. It's like, it's so good. It's like she tips her head back and laughs as a belly laugh, right? And it's so real. And I saw her at this fireplace outside in her backyard, and she's already this lady that I'm digging, right? I'm like, dude, I could totally hang out with you. So, you know, she's kicking it with her friends. I see a man that's her boyfriend. I knew it was her boyfriend. I get a name on him. I tell them. And from there, it continues. I mean, little details, like she was smoking a cigarette, and she tells me, I only smoke menthol cigarettes, but I've never bought a pack. Like, I just bum them from people. But it was little intricacies like this that are like, okay, I only smoke menthol cigarettes, but I don't buy my own cigarettes. Usually people who bum cigarettes are not going to be picky about the brand.
Right.
But she was picky about the brand, which I thought was really
an evidential medium. These are the little pieces that are linking you to them so that you're not just giving her generalized reading about connecting with her mother, but you're giving her specifics that would let her know you have made two-way communication.
The connection. Yeah. Correct. And so this continues on. She takes me into her home and she tells me, you know, it's not much. It's quaint. Now I'm looking at a trailer, right? And she goes, people say trailer trash, but we're not trashy. I'm like kind of OCD and I keep a really clean house. So she starts to show me her home and how well kept it is, how everything's put away. And then she lets me know that she, you know, had been diagnosed with mental illness and what drugs she was on, how many she was on, which one switched in the last 3 months down to the pill and what type of pill it was and everything, all accurate, all confirmed later. Then she shows me, you know, she's standing at her table in the kitchen and I see her on the phone and I hear what she's saying, who she's speaking with, and I reiterate everything to her daughter. I mean, this case is still open in my eyes. It's been closed, but we're considering it still open. So I don't know how much information to actually give here. I'm trying to let you know, like, she took me through and she showed me every conversation she had before she went missing, with whom, described what those people did for work, where they were that day, their interpersonal relationships with each other, with her, the uniqueness in them. She even showed me what her and her boyfriend's retirement plan was, which was a food truck. Little things like that. Things that he did on his pastime, like his hobbies that were really, really weird and unusual. And then showed me other people in her family and acquaintances she knew. As I was reading, I was taken outside of her home. I was given the direction that she left in. I was given street names, locations, directional locations of where she would have been in those few days prior to being located, like found, actually. I was given car descriptions, truck descriptions, people descriptions, even where possible perpetrators are living, and full descriptions of what they look like and what they do for a living, all understood later. Okay. This was all verifiable information. Now you've got to realize that I have no dog in this fight. I'm doing it pro bono. I don't know these girls from anybody. I wasn't expecting anything like this to happen from this case.
Right.
Just trying to help another person. Okay. And I'm pretty low key. I kind of stay that way on purpose.
I want to point out too, because I think this is important. So, and listen, Greg, I know law enforcement is overtaxed. They get a lot of people that go missing, things that happen, and you guys are pulled in 18 different directions. But the time from when the woman went missing to when Carolyn got a call was just a few days. And the reason Carolyn got the call was because the police had exhausted all opportunities. They could not find or recover the body, and they were case closed for them. They're just like, this is a missing persons case. We don't have the time or resources to continue going out. Maybe being dismissive because they think that drugs might be involved. Very cold-hearted on this. But within a few days, you get this call, you connect, and how far away from the mother's house was her body actually located? Do you know?
Yeah. So what was interesting is I was being pulled all over the place to give me all the information leading up to her whereabouts now. So she provided pages and pages of information, all evidential. And then she took me to what I would consider as ground zero, which was back to her home. Not everybody does this. When I'm working a missing persons case, they usually don't take me home and guide me from there. It's usually somewhere totally outside of their jurisdiction or something, or even in another state. So we normally don't have this really easy base to start at. So she was actually on the phone with me, Brittany was, and her mom showed me, okay, my other daughter's listening on the line from Louisiana, from my state, on mute because she's scared of you, because she was raised to be God-fearing and not to believe in psychics, and so she's scared. And I asked Brittany, I said, you know, is your sister on the line on mute? And she reassured me that she was not. And I said, well, if she is, have her take very good notes, because I'm going to tell you where your mom is right now. And your mom's telling me that she's going to be the one that has to go out on foot and find her. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Ashley stayed quiet and she took notes along with Brittany, who lives out of state. And her mom took me to her house and she said, okay, you're going to go south. You're going to go to the front of my house. You're going to go south. You're going to hit this wood line. Okay. Then you're going to go, I can't remember if it was southeast or southwest now. This was a year and a half ago. I'm so sorry. I'd have to pull up my notes.
Right.
She told me where to go from there. She said, there's going to be a creek and there's going to be a log. It's a huge log that's very pronounced. Okay. She goes, you're going to walk. She told me like how many yards they were going to walk before they hit this log. And that this log was going to be the determining factor of where her body was. And she said it wasn't like twigs or anything. It was like a log. And so they went out the very next day and pulled out a compass on the phone and followed their mom's instructions. Well, Ashley did. And she ran into that log and she got violently ill. And I think it's because her mom in spirit was, well, I know it was, her mom in spirit was protecting her from, you know, actually finding the body on her own. She had a friend with her. Mm-hmm. So her mom made her feel sick so that she would run out of the woods and throw up and get some air. When she ran out of the woods, her friend found her body, you know, feet from that log in the creek. And I was getting that the creek was only about 3 feet at best, at the deepest parts. And it was not a fast flowing creek by any means. It was just about 3 feet, about up to your knees at best. That hasn't been confirmed to me, but I'm assuming I'm right. And then her jacket was like, you know, again, feet from her body. And I could see that she was unclothed from the waist down, that the clothing was not there at all on the scene. I could see where there was rigor mortis had set in. And when she began taking me through her body, well, let me say here, Ashley called me at this point. Like Ashley called me after they found her body and apologized for lying about being on the phone on mute. And I'm like, why are you apologizing to me? You just found your mom's body. Like that's horrible. And I felt terrible. And her mom came through again and I said, do you mind if I read for you again? And I felt bad asking because of the trauma she had just endured.
Right.
And she said, no, I want to know everything. So I started reading for her and all of a sudden I was Ashley. I was, if you can understand, I was standing in her perspective and I was looking down at her phone and I said, you have an iPhone? And she said, yes. And I can see the camera on her phone. And every time it clicks, I can see a different spot of her mom's body, a different area. And I'm like, Ashley, did you take pictures of your mom's body? And she said, you're damn right I did. And I was like, whoa, okay. All right. Good girl. Like, most people wouldn't think of doing that, but okay. So I said, do you mind if we go through those photos? I'm going to tell you what's on the photographs and where those injuries came from. And I want you to validate what I'm seeing as you look at the photos. Can you do that? And she agreed. And so I went through every one of those photos in my head. I told her what I was seeing and then she pulled them up and validated everything. And I took her through what had happened, what I was seeing. And then we went in to tell her what the toxicology and pathology report would later read. It was all accurate.
Which is important. I want people to hear that. The spirit of the mother was giving Carolyn the information about what they're going to uncover and what they're going to say they uncovered and was specific. So these notes were written prior to the release of this information, because at this point, law enforcement hadn't even found the body, right? I mean, they were being called into it. So I want people to realize that, because that's a, integral part of this situation. So you're giving them all this information prior to law enforcement backing any of this up.
Trying to give it to them. But yes, I gave I provided it to the daughters. I tried to provide it to the department. Yes. And Greg, I was unsuccessful
Ask one thing real quick, Greg, a medium called in, has this kind of information, is insanely accurate with the information. Why would police not reach out to her to try to get some more information or to make sure that Carolyn wasn't involved in this crime in some way, shape, or form? Microphone on, buddy.
If you know that much about it, you would be the number one suspect in this. So obviously you would be interviewed. I don't care where you are. This doesn't make any sense. The problem in law enforcement is there are a lot of cops out there that are very smug. They're super narcissists. And when they get something in their head, instead of following the evidence, they will force the evidence round peg square hole because that will back what they think happened. I don't know whether necessarily that happened here, but really bad police work, in my opinion. And the excuse of, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I can't do a better investigation for your mom who went missing and died in suspicious circumstances, you know?
Yeah.
So when somebody says that, I don't care about how bad you have it with your, you know, your caseload or whatever. Don't care. That's an overt admission of you have a problem. You have a problem within your agency and you need to fix it and reprioritize. Cause I guarantee you they're clearing all of the mailbox damage and all of the petty theft and they're clearing all that. They need to refocus their energy.
Does the problem come in though that, all right, as a police officer who's about to build a case, everything that I've just gotten came from a medium. This is going to get torn apart by defense in a court of law. Because if I go into the court and they say, where did you get this information, officer? And I say, a medium from Wisconsin gave me all this information. Aren't they going to say, why are we not putting her on trial? Why are we not investigating this medium? Is there an element to the police having to be very cautious in the way they present this? Because if it gets torn apart, the murderer or perpetrators are going to get let out on a technicality because it was some crazy psychic from Wisconsin who gave them the information. And Carolyn, understand, I'm not being dismissive towards you. I'm just stating what I believe.
Can I weigh in here for one moment? Yeah, I just want to weigh in. My phone's about to die, but I want to weigh in because there was a case back in the 80s that somebody brought to my attention. This guy, Bob Bastancherry, who worked for ABC and worked in talk shows for a lot of years. He's been following my journey for 7 years. And he sent me an article on a woman named Rosemary Kerr, K-E-R-R. She actually was living in California at the time, and she solved the missing persons case again in Louisiana, strangely enough. In Louisiana, I believe his name was Andre Daigle. And it made the news. The police worked with her. And police have worked with me on other cases, and detectives have too. There are really, really great detectives in police departments. Right. So I don't want to knock everybody. So I just want to throw that out there. But yeah, I mean, she worked with them. She actually stood trial. I believe she was the only psychic medium or whatever that stood trial ever, but maybe I'm wrong on that. And then she ended up working with the Louisiana Police Department for 20 years, I think, probably the New Orleans one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's funny that it's shocking to me that like back in the 80s, this happened and people are still questioning it now. And here I am now, and now Rosemary is deceased and we're back here seemingly at square one. Now, did she bring through the exact location of him? No. But she brought through the town, I believe. And, you know, I don't think they would have found him without her. And, you know, according to Ashley, she's like, I remember her saying something on the phone with me that was stunning. It stunned me when she called me. She said, after apologizing for lying to me, she said, I just want to thank you. I just know in my heart that if we wouldn't have reached out to you, we would have never found Mama before the hogs and gators got to her. Jeez. And that thought,
seriously,
that thought is just chilling and sinking. Yeah. And I just thought, wow, like no daughter, no family member should ever have to think that.
No.
You know? And we tried reaching out to the department several times. I left three messages myself that were very thorough. I left a message with the person who answers phones there. I was very thorough. She's like, why would they want to talk to you? I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm the person who located the body. But okay. And I have other information regarding the pathology and toxicology report. And she said, well, we haven't even gotten that back yet. And I'm like, right. But wouldn't that, don't you want to know what I know before you get it back so that it's more verifiable for me?
Yeah.
Right. And just crickets, nothing. And so I stopped calling. I normally don't call departments. I'm not an ambulance chaser. I don't chase cases. And I only take on cases every so often that come to me. I can't even take on all the cases that come to me, which is really sad because I wish that I could, and I can't because I do them pro bono and I'm a single mom. So
right.
I have to earn a living.
Understandable. So. First of all, thank you, Carolyn, for taking that call, for helping to solve this case and helping to reunite a family with their mother. It's a sad predicament the way it ended, but as you said, at least they were able to get some closure on this.
And I know where the drugs came from. Isn't that wild? And that was told to them as well. And there's been no arrests made. Pretty stunning.
Do you, that was one of the things that Riley and I talked about was, okay, all right. So a drug overdose and she drowned then? That's what you're saying. And you know, the current in a stream is going to pull your clothes off. Okay. That's your story. Where did she get the meth? Why don't you open up a case on that? And let's find out where she was getting it, if that was the case, or if it was being forced on her.
And right, you just, yeah. I don't want to get too much into the details that we haven't shared yet out of respect for the family.
Right.
And for the case, but you nailed it, exactly.
Well, you know, you and I have been talking about this case for what, a year?
Yeah, I mean, when we met, I was so frustrated about it, right? Because I was trying to get in touch with the department. And I asked Greg, I'm like, is this crazy, right? Like, I located this body and nobody's getting back to me. I know so much information. I have so many perps. I've got, I mean, so much information that was undeniable. I mean, I knew where her cell phone was. I knew, you know, where her medications were. I knew the condition of her home. I knew what was found inside of a towel in her home, who purchased those items.
And for somebody who keeps her house immaculate, that thing looked like it had been tossed.
Yeah.
Very, very strange case. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Carolyn, and that's not what I mean by this question, but being a psychic medium, do you get the sense that there will be justice? Finally, somebody will take this seriously, or do you feel like
I do.
That was closed?
No, I do. I do. I wouldn't be continuing forward with this and, you know, speaking out about it if I didn't have hope that there would be justice at some point for those girls and for Teresa and for their community, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, the job of, you know, any department is to obviously do their due diligence to help protect the community. And if there's any question in mind of how somebody was, you know, ended up demised in the woods with their pants off and so forth, I would think that the community would want to demand answers also and have the police spend the money on rape kit and DNA analysis and so forth. Now, that's just me. I'm not a police officer. Maybe I'm a mother. Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah, exactly. If that was my mom or your mom,
or
there's
my
no way
children or myself that any yes. woman. I don't want that to happen to any woman. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Tragic.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like she was pigeonholed because of her demographic, because of her, I mean, seriously, because of her past addiction, because of her demographic and so forth.
I've seen that. I've seen that a lot. And I guarantee you, if, you know, if she was the daughter of one of the local attorneys in town and she was 14, the National Guard would have been called out.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, right? We pass judgment all the time. There's a thing called, Carolyn and I talked about this, a misdemeanor murder, right? Yeah. It's like, it's a drug dealer got shot. Mm-hmm. You know?
And I so much appreciate Greg because I can call him and be like, hey, Greg, like, does this sound right to you? I know that it's not, but just to have him there to bounce it off and say, hey, this is what I'm getting, you know, spiritually, and this is how I feel about it personally. You know, what do you think? And, you know, and it aligns with everything I'm getting. That's very helpful. So helpful. You know?
And we have a link up for Carolyn on today's program guide as well. So if you're watching live, it's on today's YouTube video link or on my social media. If you are listening to the show in podcast form, it is on the podcast information blurb as well. So make sure that you check it out and reach out to Carolyn. Again, being a single mom, she makes income from doing readings and things. So please reach out to her. Understand that she may not be able to deal with every case that comes her way, but she certainly has helped on many cases for people that have gone missing. And this is not unique to her, but it is just another telling example where this is breaking in the major news outlets. And I wanted to share that because I think it's important to realize that there are very gifted people in our community that are doing remarkable work and maybe not getting the kind of attention and Alison Dubois or others would be getting. So Carolyn, thank you for the work you do and best of luck to you in the future. And keep us up to date if you can, if there's any new breakthroughs and that they end up talking to you. And I encourage everyone, send this episode, send that article, send that news story to the governor in Louisiana and shake that shit up, because there's no reason on planet Earth that they should be ignoring this and not looking more into it.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. Amazing story, amazing stuff. And again, please go check out the web link and information that we've included on today's program guide for even more information. Let me fix this. It's horribly incorrect. There we go. So Greg, with this and with Carolyn telling you this, obviously you were a big part of that news story. It's got to be heartbreaking to you to see that law enforcement is not fulfilling their duty to this case. What can we legitimately do? I said, write to the governor, share this tale. Why are we not getting more traction on this, do you think?
Like I said, people pass judgment right away. They live their daily lives and it doesn't stir them up for very long, if it does at all. And
I know I had my very first girlfriend in high school in Illinois was murdered in the 90s. We had remained friends and my son was born at the same time her son, and we became close. I named her son. When she was murdered, they were asking for the fathers of the children to come forward, because not only had they murdered my friend Deb, they had murdered two of her children and then stolen the unborn baby from her. And this took place in Addison, Illinois. And I reached out to the police and I said, I know that my friend had talked about putting me on the birth certificate as a father at one point, because she wasn't sure she wanted to acknowledge the actual biological father. So if you're looking for a father, I may be the name on that. They totally dismissed that, never bothered to call me back, never did any checkup on anything, which is fine. But it blew up on the news around the United States and around the world. And the thing that broke my heart was, yes, my friend was in a not great situation, and she did drugs, and she had four children from three different men, and it was criminal the way that media spoke about her. Well, a drug addict with children from many men, I mean, we kind of expect this is going to happen. And it was this smarmy, dismissive nature of just, what are you going to do? And I thought, you know, and I called into a couple of local radio stations at that point, and I said, so am I to understand that because she had children from different men, she's less than human, and this is a laughing matter to you? And it was so disturbing to me how quickly and summarily it just dismissed because she had drugs in her past and she was a mother of multiple children from multiple men, which made her, I guess, not a big loss. And that just absolutely destroyed me knowing that that was what was taking place. Thankfully, the animals behind that crime were captured and remain in jail. And I hope they will for the rest of their lives. But it is sad to know that your past can weigh in on things where your judgment, I don't know. It's so frustrating that there are elements of law enforcement that it's just not as important because you were less than the person that we think we should be investigating another case.
And that's the thing is in law enforcement, you have every facet of personality type and, whatever economic situation you had when you were growing up. I mean, there's the cop populace is very diverse populace. And so you have those jackasses also that, you know, they just pass judgments like, do we want to put all of our effort in this person? This person was a drug addict, you know, whatever, when we could be doing this other thing. So what makes it
look- is that person may be a drug addict, but yeah, maybe the people responsible are also responsible for the deaths
exactly.
of good people.
And that's,
that in quotes. Yeah.
That's where it's really bad because, okay, let's say you don't feel this person's life is important and they got killed. Who killed them? You're going to let that person get off? What if that person is worse than the person that they killed?
And hey, Marty, swing that mic out just a little bit for us. We're getting the Darth Vader effect.
Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
So these cops that are like, whatever, they're disposable. Who's calling those people out? Who are calling those cops out? Well, why aren't other cops calling those cops out?
Sometimes they do. But a lot of attitudes like that, a lot of personalities like that end up promoting. So those are the people that are in charge that are willing to put up with all the hurt, you know, the dysfunction and kind of refocus it back down and blame everybody else.
And I'm not, again, I don't want to cast aspersions on all police officers. No. Obviously, I have family that are in law enforcement. Our good friend Greg Lawson, former law enforcement, I know that he does his job and looked at everybody as an individual and wanted justice for all. So I understand that, but it's disheartening to me. I'm glad that there are people like Carolyn that are out there that are helping. And, you know, it was funny. I had her on WCCO earlier with me today as I was filling in, where I'm not Darkness Dave, I'm not the paranormal guy, I get to talk about normal things, but I broke that story on CCO because I think it's important that this is an actual story. This wasn't, and the response from people, oh my God, what a charlatan. This sounds like an infomercial for the Psychic Friends Network. Oh, this, oh, that. You know what though? It's those same dipshits that are going to be wishing they had a Carolyn in their court if somebody in their family goes missing.
It was all pro bono. Like,
right.
What is she selling? Nothing.
Yeah, right. No. Good point.
It's just crazy, but people love to just dismiss. Oh, this is complete and utter garbage. It was on KNOE. It was an actual news because it was proven. A woman 1,000 miles away with no information told her, here's where you go, turn left, turn right, second log by the third stump, that's where your mother's going to be found. And they found her there. That's powerful, man. That shows just how powerful what we do and talk about on this program is. And I hope people will start taking that into effect. But Greg, I did pose the question. It's got to be hard for law enforcement to hinge a case on the word of a medium and psychic, because A, we then have to prove that she talked to a dead person and that that's where she got her information. And it becomes a very unstable case, I'm guessing, in the eyes of the court to go after an indictment of some sort on a criminal because a ghost told you.
You know, which is why she should have been questioned. Like, she got no questions from anyone. They were just like, whatever. She found the body, and they were just like, cool, thanks, bye. Why are you not questioning her? She should be
Well, let Greg answer. Let me see what his thoughts are.
No, I'm going to... No, go ahead.
No, what's worse is when you exclude purposely information from the case. If a person comes to you and says, I have this information about this case, Brady law and also the Michael Morton Act compels you to include that because the defense will want it in discovery later. And if it's not in there, you've hidden it. So the real problem is it makes you look bad. Why are you excluding information that's has something to do with the case? And you're not doing your due diligence when you're hiding information or purposely not addressing it. That's amazing.
Well, how about the fact that they changed the quote, that they quoted the daughter as saying, oh, mom's not taking her medication and is off her rocker, and that was never said. First of all, why is Gloria Allred not getting involved in that case? Because it seems like she likes to stick her nose in every case that comes out like this. And this seems like they're being dismissive to the women behind the case. They're being dismissive to every element of this case. It's really distracting. And the fact that they falsified documentation by quoting the daughter on things she didn't say.
Well, and even if it's by omission, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you go to court and they ask you, well, how'd you find out about this? And you go, well, you know, good police procedure. And I talked to the daughter and we went walking in the woods and we found him. Okay. You're omitting information in that.
Yeah.
And that will damage you more than going, hey, look, you look, they ask you, how'd you find out about this? And you look over at the jury and you go, it was weird. I got to admit, I don't know. It was weird. I got this phone call. You know, you start into it and you're honest as opposed to being deceitful. And that's what's going on is when people, I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't, I don't know why we didn't do that. I don't know. I don't, you know, it's like.
Well, you know, Caroline brought up a good point, is that since 1980, there have been cases that have used mediums to solve the actual case. Since 1980, if you continue to use or to show that in certain cases they were solved by mediums, don't you think after so many decades now we would start saying, yeah, you know, that's a common use of evidence now? You know, it's something that the courts do recognize.
I can see there being a danger involved in that, Marty, because there are people that are sketchy. And who's to say Greg didn't pay his psychic buddy Dave to call out Sweet Tea for this crime she didn't commit, because we need to get her off the show. So the best way to do that is by implicating her in a crime. Yeah. And right then all of a sudden it becomes real dodgy. And because there's no due diligence on the part of how do I prove that this is where I get the information, I can understand why law has to be very cautious with the way they accept that information. And there are shitty people out there that would take advantage of those situations and make those claims. And sadly, there have been one-off cases, you know, the Red Barn ghost, the Green Briar ghost, both cases solved by the spirit of the person murdered. Green Briar ghost is actually on record with the town as the only ghost that's ever testified in its own case. So it's really kind of fascinating. But there have been other people who are not mediums or psychics that get information, come forward with it because they're told this information from some realm, and you know, it makes it extremely hard to try a case under that auspice, because how do you prove it? And if and the prosecution is going for the win, they're not going for justice. They're right. going for a win, which is a big problem we have in the court systems, is it's not about winning. It's about justice. And we need to get focused on that again. But I can understand in these cases, how do we go about proving these things? However, in that statement, Greg, we put our hands on the Bible and we swear to God, which there is no proof exists, right? In the court of law.
Of course,
we're swearing to God. Don't write me hateful email. I obviously believe in God and have a Christian background. But my point is, we'll dismiss the concept of possession, maybe causing somebody to murder. We'll dismiss mediumship helping to solve cases, but yet we still put our hand on a Bible in a court of law to prove just how sincere we are. And people lie on that constantly. It's a weird, weird conundrum, the law and the you know, everything that we're based on. And I just hope that more people will start looking into these cases. And I know Carolyn's probably going to get inundated with messages and calls. I saw just in chat alone how many people want to solve crimes that have happened to friends or relatives or close people in their lives. And there's just not enough mediums out there that are doing this. You know, I mean, I had a Canadian medium on my show 15 years ago. And I just threw him cases that night. I said, okay, so what can you tell me about this case, about that case? And, you know, it's one of those kind of fun speculation shows. And one of the cases he did was on Jacob Wetterling, a famous young boy that went missing here in Minnesota. One was on the Kaylee Anthony case. And, you know, he specifically said on my show, Kaylee's body's been moved. She's underwater now. She was at one area. They dug her up. They moved her. And sure enough, where they found her was flooded, and that's where she had been. And they found another site where they believe the body had been before that. The guy knew that before it was ever released, before it came out in the news. That was pretty amazing. He also was spot on with where they would end up eventually finding Jacob Wetterling, and they didn't find that out for like 10 more years. So there's something to that realm and understanding that, and we have to find a way to come to terms with law enforcement being more open to these elements and finding a better way to use the law to protect these clues. Because it shouldn't, to me, it shouldn't matter if Bigfoot walks out of the woods and goes, "Hey, Greg Lawson killed that woman and I watched her hold her head under the water." It shouldn't matter where the information comes from. If it's correct and it's legitimate information, that's what matters. But then we have to prove the people that are making these claims are not crazy, are not delusional, and are not Bigfoot, right? So, I mean, it's just a weird cycle that how do we break it? How do we make it more accessible to more people?
A lot of the problem is that the pressure from the community, the pressure from supervision to, you know, close the case. That's what we want to do. We want to close the case so we can move on. And it becomes a lot more about case management than actually solving the crime.
Yeah.
So you see that in this case, as far as all the excuses that they're making. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough manpower. We got too much stuff going on. I don't have the money. I mean, they'll just go down the everything to dismiss this. And that's the thing is it's easy to investigate a case and at least make it look like you cared, you know, made it look like you tried. There's a whole bunch of boxes that you have to go over and go, okay, I did that, I did that, I did that, I did that. But here it's just like, yeah, I was too busy. I had to move on. Wasn't any new information. We didn't check the area and we didn't do a rape kit because we didn't have any reports of people screaming out there. You know, it's like,
God.
Yeah, but even if they did the rape kit, there are millions of unprocessed rape kits because there's not enough money for those rape kits to be processed.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll do the kit and then they just keep it as evidence. And if something comes up later, then they'll submit it. But
yeah. Unbelievable. Terrifying. Unbelievable. That's it. I don't want to continue to pound this horse into the ground.
I do want you to know one thing.
Yes.
Carolyn and I will probably have some more stuff a little later this year. So we've been working on some stuff for about a year now. And that was one of them. That was one of a couple. And so should be kind of interesting.
I'm looking forward to that, but congratulations.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
She's pretty amazing. She's pretty.
No, yeah. She's amazing.
She's pretty good, yes. Man. I've yeah. talked and done a lot of stuff with a lot of different mediums and everything. And wow.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one of the things I say. I got in trouble for bringing mediums in on my cases when I worked major crimes. And I say, look, I don't know what this person does. I don't have a clue. But I know this person thinks outside of my cop box mm-hmm. I have going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a way to, you know, to process and do industry standards, best practices in investigations. But it's kind of nice to get somebody from outside to come in and take a fresh look from their perspective.
Right.
If that's all
not being blocked by cop knowledge. Right. And I don't mean that rudely, but sometimes you get so following the guidelines that somebody stepping back can say, well, it's like that, the famous story, right? With the kids that the people that drove the truck into the tunnel and they got jammed and they spent weeks are like, we're going to have to disassemble this stupid bridge in order to get this truck out. And a kid came by and said, why don't you let the air out of the tires and that'll lower the truck. And that's what they did. So sometimes it is just having somebody else look at it from a very basic perspective that could give you the intel or insight to help open up a new dynamic in the case. And I hope more people will do that.
For once, I didn't mean that as a knock against Greg. I don't want to hear, I don't need more of these stories because they're heartbreaking. It's fascinating. And I think that she's very talented and she has a lot of insight, but
I don't know why you hate her and Greg so much. It's horrible.
You know what? Greg says a lot of stuff chats. And
Greg, thank you for being an American hero and being a part of that case, even though
that is awesome.
Wear like your Paranormal 60 shirt or, you know. Or
yeah, you had that option, but obviously you didn't take it.
I understand.
It.
Okay. Yeah, they want to take you more seriously. You'll wear a UFO shirt for the crime. That's good.
Good job, Greg.
Hey, Greg, you want to watch a movie next week?
Yeah, dude, I love.
It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me, with poltergeists and ghosts and blues and UAPs. You miss a word, you do a shot. Starts a snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dreaming the aliens are taking me away. I'll go wake up for something late on Saturday. It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Traitors on. Hockey and the Colonel and the Paranormal Detective, all we traitors got me and they all will be corrected. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Traitors on.
Book, buy it. Go buy my book, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. It's out and available on Amazon.com in physical and ebook form, or you can go right to paranormal60.com and get yourself a signed copy there. Thank you for tuning in and spending your time with the Paranormal 60.